broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for July the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. You know, I always mention we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. So no revolution, but yes, restoration. And last Saturday, 2 days ago, I went into a monologue. I jumped into a monologue, if you will, on detailing exactly why we stand with the founding fathers, but against another revolution. You know, some would say if you stand with the founding fathers, Sam, they were revolutionaries and you should be too. I understand, but you know what? If you really understand the Founding Fathers, you would not be for a revolution as well. And I went into that. I went off on a monologue. That broadcast is available last Saturday. LibertyRoundtable.com. Check it out. The latest, you know, show up there, archived right now. And we also then finished the broadcast covering several weeks in news the networks refused to use. Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review, and it went both hours there. We got a lot of news that we had to cover, folks, and, you know, there's just not enough time to cover it all, I submit to you. You know, there's just so much news. It is amazing how much news we cover, and usually in an hour, if we only cover a week, I get to all the news. But since we, you know, didn't get it all done because I was out for 1 week, we had 2 weeks to cover. We still didn't get it all even covered, along with my monologue, in 2 hours. It's shocking, but we didn't. And so on Friday, we talked about Rush Limbaugh. Mueller is just a figurehead, says Rush. You watch and you'll find out that's true over time. Trump says Democrats have gone crazy. Is he right? WND.com. Trump says House Republicans should support the 2-year budget agreement, which greatly helps our military and our vets. Trump says he's totally with you on raising the debt ceiling. In my opinion, he's off his rocker. Trump says, I am pleased to announce that the House has passed our budget deal 284 to 149. He says, great for our military and our vets. Thank you very much. I disagree with Trump 100% on this. So does Rand Paul and many other constitutional and fiscal conservatives. Rand Paul says, quote, the proposed budget deal violates every principle of conservatism. The deal allows unlimited borrowing and doesn't even deal with the issue until after the next election. It eliminates spending caps. Every conservative in the Republic should be outraged. We should respond in outrage. Why do we even bother to elect Republicans if that's what they're going to stand for? And I think he's right as rain. Freedom Works rolled out a statement in response to the budget-busting belligerent deal as well. And Freedom Works basically says this is disaster. Freedom Works applauds Representative Thomas Massie for his stand. He wants to rename the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2019 to a bill to kick the can down the road and for other purposes. Anyway, doing a great job there. They say U.S. city with the highest minimum wage signals a tipping point. Folks are wondering how they're even able to survive it. By the way, the city of Emeryville, California is the one, the highest minimum wage city in the nation. I guess it was $15 and they hiked it to $16.30, folks. And that's according to the Wall Street Journal, and most businesses there are speaking out saying, I don't even see how we're going to accomplish that. Anyway, there you have that. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org is with us. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
You betcha. I was just covering a couple of little news items from the previous week while we were waiting for you. Now news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with us. And he had the political leadership school on Saturday, as we've been talking about for quite some time. And Lowell's got a report on the event. Sir?
Well, thank you. It was great, Sam. Over 24 people attended this this all-day seminar, which included lunch. People who are passionate about good government, really, government that understands and fulfills its proper role in society. That's what we mean when we talk about good government. So for only $50, Sam, we covered material that is really valued at hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Topics such as the meaning of politics, the real nature of politicians. We talk about what pleases a politician and what displeases a politician. You know, politicians, they love inertia. They love to do nothing. They simply want to maintain their seat of power, and by doing something, they displease a certain crowd. You know, if they do something, that means they're either going to, make somebody mad, and so they really prefer to do nothing. And so, you know, what we activists must do is to persuade them to do something. You know, to do what we want them to do, to vote the right way, to vote the way we want them to vote. And so we talked about that. We talked about the excuses they give so that they don't have to do anything. We talked about the dangers of being a friend with a politician. This is kind of funny, Sam. You know, we talked about the definition of a friend. In this context, what is a friend? And so everybody gave some answers, and then our instructor said, well, you know, the real definition of a friend is somebody you can use. Somebody can use? What? We all thought, what? This is a crazy definition. But when you thought about it, he said, well, you know, what if your car breaks down on the side of the road? Who do you call? Well, you call a friend. And what do you ask that friend that, you know, if your car breaks down at 3 in the morning on the side of the road, you call your friend up because, you know, you can, get a favor, talk a favor from a friend. So you use your friend. You know, it comes and bails you out of a tough situation 3 in the morning, right? And so anyway, using that definition of a friend, you know, if you're friends with a politician, then they will ask you to do things which you would otherwise not do. And so you have to be really careful about being friends with a politician. It's okay to be a friend with a statesman, you know, a champion of liberty. That's perfectly fine because you'll never ask them to do anything against their best interest and vice versa. We talked about what grassroots activist leaders do. If you're a leader in the activist movement, we talked about how to pick your battles. There's a great little tool that helps you accomplish that. How to know whether you can win a political battle. Of course, we talked about how a bill becomes law. How to defeat bad bills. How to pass good ones. We talked about the importance of connecting the legislative season with the election season. Now, this is something that citizens rarely do, but we ought to be really good at this. We ought to remember, you know, when it comes to election season, we need to remember how our representatives voted during the legislative session. And if we would remember, if we had long memories, then we would find far fewer incumbents. We would actually elect people, new people who would go in there and vote the right way. And so this is part of holding politicians accountable. And so, these are some of the things we learned at school. It was an all-day seminar, 9 in the morning to 5:30 in the afternoon, with breaks, of course, with, you know, food and fun. And it was just a rollicking good time. Our instructor, by the way, was Ted Harvey. He's a former legislator in Colorado. He spent 5 years in the Colorado House and 8 years in the Colorado Senate. Delightful gentleman. You know, he's really fun. He's warm and fuzzy on the outside, but tough as nails on the inside. We went to dinner with him Friday night at Olive Garden, I think it was, and just had a delightful evening. He is just fun to be around, but boy, he is tough as nails on the inside.
Yes, he is. In fact, he's rock solid. He has a rock solid position on 4 very controversial issues, but I believe critical issues.
That's right. It's those 4 issues: the right to life. I mean, absolutely.
And by the way, that's in my mind, and I've highlighted this for years. That is the important issue. If you don't have respect for life and you don't have honest money, It's curtains, eventually, for your society, folks.
That's right. And then the right to bear arms, of course. A huge Second Amendment guy, was always willing to sponsor legislation to restore the right to bear arms for your own protection and so forth. Right to work. You know, he's against the unionization, where you have to be forced to join a union in order to work someplace.
Yeah, we're all fine with unions, Lowell. We're just not fine with the forced unions. We're fine to go to the hotel. We're just not interested in the Hotel of California, where you can never leave.
That's right. And finally, opposition to illegal immigration. Big opponent there. He just simply does not bend on those issues, Sam. He also chaired the Stop Hillary PAC. You know, when he left the legislature, I think in 2014, he looked around and he didn't see anything on the horizon that was bent on stopping Hillary becoming president. And so he started the Stop Hillary PAC and grew it for what is a couple of years before it really became at the force that it was. But he believes, and many, of course, agree, that the Stop Hillary PAC was very helpful in stopping Hillary from winning in 2016. And he now chairs the Defend the President PAC, which is the largest pro-Trump PAC in the country, Sam. This is a phenomenal gentleman, Ted Harvey.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We are live on your radio.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, a fantastic time was had by all at the Political Leadership School in Sandy, Utah on Saturday. Tremendous education. Speaker Ted has a rock-solid position on four critical controversial issues: right to life, right to bear arms, right to work, and opposition to illegal immigration. I think he's spot on. The only thing he left out is money. Lol.
Yeah, and he may have mentioned that, you know, Sam, he actually has five rock-solid positions, and I was writing them down but didn't catch the fifth one. It may have been honest money, but I didn't want to say anything on the air because I didn't want to misrepresent his
position. No, I understand, sure. And again, the problem that Kurt always points out, well, I shouldn't say the problem, Kurt, Kurt highlights the reality that, you know, it's such a target-rich environment. No matter what you focus on, I can then say, well, what about education? What about money? And what about, you know, it's a target-rich environment, right?
For sure, yep.
All right. Speaking of pro-life being his top or first issue to focus on, Planned Parenthood celebration. I guess they had a gimp in the get-along over there?
Yeah. That's a fun way to put it, yeah. You know, this vignette that I want to paint about Ted Harvey actually occurred, almost 20 years ago. But it is so good. I read this article. It was written by Ted in 2006. He was reminiscing about his 5 years in the state house there in the state of Colorado. And he wrote, he penned this article, and it's entitled "The Planned Parenthood Celebration Jolted by Abortion Survivor." And this is such a great story. I just felt it was worth sharing. You know, this was near the end of his service in the Colorado State House. And he says, "I was leaving the House chambers for the weekend when our Democrat Speaker of the House announced that the coming Monday would be the final day of the year's General Assembly. He went on to state there would be numerous resolutions on the calendar that had to be addressed, and specifically mentioned one of the resolutions would be that we would be hearing would be carried by the House Majority Leader Alice Madden, honoring the 90th anniversary of Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains." Okay, so he's thinking to himself, holy cow, we're going to be honoring Planned Parenthood in the Colorado legislature come Monday. And he says, "As a strong pro-life legislator, I was disgusted by the idea that we would pass a resolution honoring this 90-year legacy of genocide. I drove home that night wondering what I could do or what I could say that might pierce the darkness during the debate of this heinous resolution." Now, let me just throw in here, Sam, an observation. Here's a legislator that was wondering what he could do to stop this heinous crime, the pro-death movement, right, to put a dent in it, whatever. And that's one of the great things that a patriot does. One of the great things that anybody in the legislature can do is honestly ask himself, basically a prayer, ask his Father in heaven what he can possibly do to thwart this evil.
And, Lowell, that's why I always say there's nothing political about these discussions. Every one of them is a moral discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't care if you're talking about money. I don't care if you're talking about pro-life. I don't care if you're talking about, what the government should be involved in or what they have jurisdictional authority to be in. Anytime you take authority into yourself that you haven't been granted by the consent of the governed, you've got a moral crisis on your hands. Every bit of these discussions come down to a moral reality check.
Oh, well put. So on Saturday morning, he's writing. He says, "You know, I took my 8-year-old son up to the mountains." And this Ted Harvey is a mountaineer. He loves hiking. He's not a chubby fat cat, you know, that you picture with a cigar in his mouth in a smoke-filled room making backroom deals. I mean, this guy is fit. He's agile. He's just a fun guy to be around. Bundle of energy. People love to be around him. Anyway, he took his son up to the mountains to go hiking, or I guess it was whitewater rafting. They had a phenomenal time. Lasted all day. And he says, "As we were driving home, exhausted and hungry, I remembered that I had accepted an invitation to attend a fundraising event that night for a local pro-life organization." Now, Sam, notice here he says, "I remembered." Well, guess what? I think that was inspiration from heaven, reminding him that he had accepted this invitation to speak at this pro-life organization's dinner.
Well, there's no doubt God can bring things to our remembrance, right?
He says, "One of my most respected mentors had personally called me several weeks and asked me to attend, so I knew I'd have to clean up, head over," which he did. He showered and stuff. But after his meal, after the meal was over, the executive director of the organization introduced the keynote speaker. And he says, "I looked up and saw walking to the stage a handicapped young lady being assisted to the microphone by a young man holding a guitar. Now, her name, the name of the young lady being assisted up there, was Gianna Jessen. And Gianna said, hello, welcome to everybody, and sang three of the most beautiful Christian songs, he says, I've ever heard. And then she began to give her testimony about her biological mother being 17 years old and 7.5 months pregnant when she went to a Planned Parenthood clinic to have an abortion. Well, as God would have it, he says, the abortion failed, and a beautiful 2-pound baby girl was brought into the world. Unfortunately, she was born with cerebral palsy, and the doctors thought she would never survive. Well, the doctors were wrong. And imagine the timing of this, Sam. Here's this Gianna Justin speaking to a plan, to a pro-life organization Saturday night, just 2 days before the Colorado House of Representatives was scheduled to celebrate Planned Parenthood's so-called, you know, quote-unquote, wonderful work. And so he says, as I listened to Gianna's amazing testimony, the Lord inspired me to ask her if she could stay in Denver until Monday morning so I could introduce her on the floor of the House and tell her story. And perhaps she could even begin the final day session by singing the country's national anthem. Well, to his surprise, and there's a few paragraphs I'm skipping here, but she agreed to stay over and to be there in the legislature Monday morning. So here it is, following a committee meeting hearing, he rushes into the House chamber just as the opening morning prayer was about to be given, and he wrote a note to the speaker saying, "Hey, I've got this girl who's an advocate for cerebral palsy. Would you mind if she sang the national anthem for us this morning?" And without hesitation, the speaker took the microphone and said, "Before we begin, Representative Ted Harvey has made available for us Gianna Justin to sing the national anthem." Okay, so it happened. It began, set in motion, this amazing turn of events. So Gianna, she sang the most amazing rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner you could possibly imagine. Every person in the chamber was completely still and quiet, in awe of this frail young lady's voice. Now, due to her cerebral palsy, Gianna often lost her balance, and shortly after starting to sing, grabbed his arm to stabilize herself. I mean, it was amazing, but there was not a dry eye in the chamber, basically, by the time she was done. And he says here, "Chills running all over my body. I knew that I had just witnessed a miracle of God, because everybody in the chamber was crying." And so, as the song concluded, the Speaker of the House explained that Gianna had cerebral palsy and is an activist to bring awareness to the disease. "Let's give her a hand," he says, "not only for her performance today, but also for her advocacy work." And so the chamber exploded with applause, and basically just she became a rock star in their eyes, okay? So now the speaker then calls the House to order, and they proceed down this usual calendar of allowing members to make announcements or introduction of guests. And so here's Ted Harvey, and so he's going to get to introduce Gianna in full in a moment, and he waits till the very end, so he's the very last one. And he's sitting there, he's pacing back and forth, very nervous, but praying to God that he would have the peace, confidence, and courage necessary to pull off what he knew would be one of the most dramatic and controversial moments of his political career. Okay, so that's the setting. So finally he got the microphone, and he said, "Members, I would like to introduce to you a new friend and hero of mine, Gianna Justin, visiting to us today from Nashville. Says a few things about her. She has cerebral palsy, was raised in a foster home after being adopted at the age of 4, born prematurely, 2 pounds at birth." I'm skipping a few things here. Told she wouldn't live, but her mom helped her live, and here she is today. She says she continued in physical therapy at a total of 4 surgeries, was able to walk without assistance. She still falls sometimes, but she has learned how to fall gracefully after falling for 29 years. 2 years ago, she walked into a local health club, said she wanted a private trainer. The times her legs could not lift 30 pounds. Today, she can leg press 200 pounds. She became so physically fit that she began running marathons. Just a phenomenal story, and I can't hit all of it, but just a modern-day hero.
Well, the bottom line is, by small things are great things accomplished by the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, pro-life at the top of the responsibilities for good, honest Americans. Speaker Ted Harvey, or I should say former Speaker of Colorado, speaker at Saturday's Political Leadership School in Sandy, Utah, highlighting some of the most important reality checks in America today. What a powerful witness, a powerful testimony. You got more in seconds coming up on your radio, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. A gunman kills three, including a six-year-old boy, and injures over a dozen people at a popular Northern California food festival Sunday before police kill the shooter. It happened late on the final day of the Gilroy Garlic Festival, among the dead a six-year-old boy. Police say they're looking for a second suspect who they will only say was involved in some way. Numerous lawmakers, mostly Democrats, have been lashing out at President Trump since he sends tweets critical of Elijah Cummings, the congressman representing part of Baltimore, and calling Baltimore a rat-infested mess. How do the people of Baltimore feel about it?
I think it's abhorrent. I think it's racist, and I think it's definitely uncalled for.
I mean, I was born and raised here in Baltimore, so yeah, I kind of take a little offense to it.
This is USA Radio News.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Dan Coats will be leaving his position as Director of National Intelligence in a few weeks, and President Trump says he's nominating Republican Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe to succeed Coats as DNI. Ratcliffe had a testy series of exchanges with the former special counsel Robert Mueller at a hearing last week.
Respectfully, Director, it was not the special counsel's job to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or to exonerate him, because the bedrock principle of our justice system is a presumption of innocence. It exists for everyone. Everyone is entitled to it, including sitting presidents.
Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer says it's a big mistake for the president to let such a partisan player as Ratcliffe into a role requiring nonpartisanship. President Trump will be flanked by some first responders who had worked at Ground Zero in 2001 as he signs the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund bill today. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Gianna Jessen, ladies and gentlemen. She was almost aborted. She lives. She has a cerebral palsy, but doing a phenomenal job, a powerful witness for Christ and a powerful witness for pro-life. And what a tremendous example. She's on the internet and gives speeches and stuff like that. She's got a powerful abortion survival story and more. Just tremendous, tremendous efforts. Anyway, great leadership school that took place Saturday in Sandy, Utah. And Speaker Ted Harvey highlighted her story and highlighted his involvement in bringing her to the Colorado floor. And really, when they were going to double down in promotion of pro-death Planned Parenthood, you know, there was a gimp in the get-along for that big time. And I use those words on purpose because I know the story of Gianna. I've studied her in great detail, and I'm so grateful for her example. And anyway, all I'm telling you is the gimp and the get-along makes sense. I had a friend with cerebral palsy, and he used to talk about that kind of stuff. It's a long story, but I'm a blind person. When I met him in the first place, I was walking down a corridor, and he was walking beside me, and I was talking to him and stuff like this. I just got introduced to him by a friend and everything, and he was just bouncing all over the place. And, of course, I can't see, so I don't know. I'm just like, what the heck is wrong with you? What are you doing? Because he was just moving everywhere. And he's like, oh, I have cerebral palsy. And I was just like, I'm just trying to keep up with you. I'm like, oh, man, okay, I can slow down, you know. And we were great friends ever since. And we went on double dates with girls together and this kind of stuff. And he'd fall down just like she did. And, you know, he fell down so many times, he just looked at the girl he was with, and he goes, I just can't help but keep falling for you. And, you know, he dealt with it with incredible grace and humor. And anyway, I digress from the story, except for this just shows how important these people really are. And it just really changes the game when it comes to the pro-life discussion in a meaningful, emotional, powerful way that's undeniable, Lowell.
Well, I appreciate your knowing John and Justin. I had no idea. This is the first I'd ever heard or read about her. And
oh, she's incredible. I'm telling you right now, just incredible.
Well, so to finish this story, now he's just minutes away from this supposedly huge celebration of Planned Parenthood in the House, the Colorado House. He has just introduced Gianna Justin in full, talking about her life as a cerebral palsy, who suffers from cerebral palsy, and everybody in the chamber is just brimming with admiration and awe about this girl, Gianna Justin, in the House. And so following this huge applause, which Ted says lasted 15 to 20 seconds, and then Ted observed the majority leader, Alice Madden, who was going to sponsor this Planned Parenthood resolution. Anyway, Alice Madden walked over right over to Gianna and congratulated her. And so as the applause began to die down, Ted says, I raise my hand to be recognized one more time. He says, Mr. Speaker and members, if you would allow me just a few more moments, I would appreciate your time. My name is Ted Harvey, not Paul Harvey, but please let me tell you the rest of the story. He says, the cause of Gianna's cerebral palsy is not because of some biological freak of nature, but rather the choice of her mother. You see, when her biological mother was 17 and years old and 7.5 months pregnant, she went to a Planned Parenthood clinic to seek a late-term abortion. The abortionist performed a saline abortion on this 17-year-old girl. This procedure requires the injection of a high concentration of saline into the mother's womb, which the fetus is then bathed in and swallows, which results in the fetus being burned to death inside and out. Within 24 hours, the results are normally an induced stillborn abortion. Well, as Gianna can testify, the procedure is not always 100% effective. Gianna is an aborted late-term fetus who was born alive. The high concentration of saline in the womb for 24 hours resulted in a lack of oxygen to her brain and is the cause of her cerebral palsy. Members, today we are going to recognize the 90th anniversary of Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood, .. And Ted says in the article, he says, bang, in capital letters, bang, the gavel came down. You can just see the Speaker of the House banging his gavel down to stop Ted Harvey from saying anything more. He writes, just as I was finishing the last sentence of my speech, the climax of the morning, the Speaker of the House gaveled me down and said, Representative Harvey, I will allow you to continue your introduction, but not for the purposes of debating a measure now pending before the House. At which point I said, Mr. Speaker, I understand. I just wanted to put a face to what we were celebrating today. And then he said there was just silence in the chamber, deafening silence. He says, I walked back to my chair, shaking like a leaf. The Democrats wouldn't look at me. They were fuming. It was beautiful, he says. He says, I'd been in the legislature for 5 tough years, and this one experience made it all worthwhile.
And it just goes to show exactly what we can do when good people get involved. Kurt, I want to add you to the mix here. You know, this is where we always say on Liberty Roundtable Live, when people think stick a fork in it, when people think, you know, we've lost the battle, I get that the battles are difficult, and I get that we lose a lot. George Washington lost a lot on the battlefield as well. But you know what? Good people are doing good things, and her life was spared. She's a powerful witness for Christ and for pro-life, and Ted doing a great job. Little things by a few people make tremendous difference, and we cannot act like we've lost. We cannot give up or be negative. We've got to celebrate these incredible victories. And this is a victory in Colorado that happened some years ago, but Lowell didn't know about it. Most people don't know about it. Now, I've read Gianna's story. It's been incredible. I've reached out to her to see if she can come on the program before she's just incredibly busy. We might still get that done. Nevertheless, when good people do good things, Kurt, there's just no telling the, I don't know what you want to call it, but the copycat effects, the synergistic effects, the, I don't know what words to use, that can come from these examples. The next person hears about it, and then they start making a difference, and it just becomes exponentially valuable. You want to add to this, Kurt?
You know, I was just trying to think of what would be appropriate, you know, and the words, thou shalt not kill, come to mind, and how important it must be for the God of heaven to include that that counsel in his Ten Commandments, and then to, you know, the feelings that Lowell has mentioned, and you as well, and that we all have in the battle for life. You just can't, I guess you could say, highlight it enough of the importance it has in all of society, Sam.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's something that, you know, on one hand, you feel like, well, I don't really have much more to say about this. But to me, you can't celebrate enough what we can do when we get involved, Lol.
Well, you got that right, Sam. This story reminds me of the Ashley Bratcher story we discussed several months ago when the movie Unplanned was released. Ashley Bratcher, her mom, went to a Planned Parenthood clinic to abort her, and by the good blessing and grace of God, decided against it at the last minute and did not go through with the abortion, and then gave birth to Ashley, who just last year became the star, the actress star in the movie Unplanned, and has had this huge impact on numerous dozens of people in the abortion industry who have since left that pro-death industry because of Ashley Bratcher, who was, again, blessed to, with life instead of death by a very young mother.
You want to know what it says on Jonna Jessen's website?
Please.
It says speaker, writer, singer. And then it says God's girl, living the impossible. See, that's what I'm talking about when we talk about a woman of faith. You know, on her website, her big claim to fame is I'm God's girl.
That is so cool, Sam.
You know, and she is a daughter of God. We know that. It's just incredible, Kurt. Think about a woman that, you know, that's her. You know, I'm God's girl. I'm a survivor. I'm going to use everything that I can to promote a pro-life advocacy position. God's girl, living the impossible. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the radio. I'm just telling you, what a story. I will try to follow up on that. I've reached out to her before, and I'll see if I can do it again, because her story is incredible. GiannaJessen.com is her website. GiannaJessen.com. Anyway, all right, fight for 15 is the wrong battle and the wrong war, Lol.
Okay. The fight for 15 is a great article, but we can cover right after this important commercial break, Sam.
Fight for 15 has to do with minimum wages, folks. We'll get into the constitution or the unconstitutionality of that and a whole lot more in seconds. Sam, Kurt, and Lol, jurisdiction is the issue. The consent of the governed is critical. We are the people, ladies and gentlemen. This is the United States of America.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, live on your radio, Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. 15, fight for 15 is the wrong war, the wrong everything, if you ask my humble opinion. It's a jurisdictional question, it's a constitutional reality question, and more, but the battle is on big time. Fight for 15 is talking about the minimum wage, Lowell.
Well, thank you, Sam. This article here, this issue here, I think is insignificant when compared to the right to life, but I wanted to cover it nonetheless because it illustrates two key facts about the proposal. One is it's unconstitutional, and number two, it's just bad economics. Now, a lot of people don't understand why this is unconstitutional. I want to hit that. And then a lot of people don't understand why this is bad economics, and so it's important to talk about that too. And then bring it down to the state level because we had someone in our state propose a similar thing. But recently, the U.S. House passed a bill to gradually raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2025. And basically, Congress claims this authority to set a national minimum wage, a wage floor, they call it, under the Commerce Clause, the so-called Commerce Clause. But this really stretches the meaning of commerce far beyond what it was intended to be. The Commerce Clause was never intended to give the general government power to regulate or control manufacturing, agriculture, labor laws, wage laws, health care, and a host of things that the general government claims they have authority to do. The Commerce Clause was not intended for that at all. The framers wanted the general government simply to possess the power to stop states from inhibiting trade through the levying of tariffs on their neighbors. In other words, you know, Tennessee farm, they wanted to be able to prevent Tennessee from slapping a tax on the bourbon imported from Kentucky, for example. There was a power, because before the Constitution came along, folks, the states had these tariffs on goods imported from other states, neighboring states. And so it was like a mishmash of tariffs, and it was hard to get goods across the borders of states, and one state wouldn't accept the fiat currency of another state because they were inflating their currency faster than this state was inflating theirs. I mean, it was an economic morass, and that was one of the key reasons that the Constitutional Convention convened in Philadelphia in 1787 was to alleviate this problem, to get to identify and fix this very problem of free commerce among the states. So the Commerce Clause was designed for that very purpose, and as James Madison explained this in a letter to J.C. Cabell, dated February 13th of 1829, he said this is very certain it grew, meaning the Commerce Clause, grew out of the abuse of power of importing states and taxing the non-importing, and was intended as a negative and preventative provision against injustice among the states themselves, rather than as a power to be used for the positive purposes of the general government, in which alone, however, the remedial power could be lodged. It would be safer to leave the power with this key to it than to extend it to all the qualities and incidental means belonging to the power over foreign commerce. End of quote. So basically he's just saying, look, the power to regulate commerce does not give the Congress the authority to set wage floors. Right. Basically, that's what Madison was zone among the states, the 13 states, in the very beginning. So this is the first point that Michael Meharry makes, and this is a column posted at the 10thAmendmentCenter.com, the very first point that he makes. I want to stop here and see if Sam or Kurt has some comments before proceeding to the second point. Sam?
Kurt, you want to respond to this?
You know, I don't know what to add, Sam, but it seems to me that Lowell always comes loaded for bear, and, you know, I'd prefer that he just continue.
Yeah, my quick response is this. You know, we got to understand it's a jurisdictional discussion. It's a constitutional discussion. And the federal government literally has no authority or power here whatsoever, Lowell. And to assume power really violates their oaths of office. That's what I would say.
And
they're used to that, though.
Oh.
Sadly, good point, Kurt.
If you want my simple explanation as to why this measure is unconstitutional, it's simply this. The state granted to the general government whatever authority is enumerated in the Constitution for the United States, the several states. Setting a wage floor is not in that list. It's not in Article 1, Section 8. Authority to meddle in domestic affairs was not delegated to the general government, has no authority to legislate on this subject matter. Therefore, states should simply ignore this measure, this House measure, if it happens to gain approval in the U.S. Senate and happens to be signed by the president. I would love for a state simply to ignore this federal law and because they can. States are sovereign here. They don't have to do it. The general government, because they created the general government. They do not take orders from the general government in this domestic matter. Okay, so now turning to the second point that Mike Meharry makes in his column, and this is an interesting point because it's not what you think it's going to be. He says the problem isn't wages. The United States has a money problem, and then he launches into a discussion about the fiat monetary system right here in the middle of a minimum wage discussion. I just love it. He says a recent study by the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, confirms that the government devaluation of the dollar over the years has stolen money from the average person. But instead of dealing with this core issue, the fight for 15, this minimum wage thing, instead centers around wage policy and offers a solution that will just exacerbate the problem because it's based on shoddy economics. And so the CBO projected increasing the minimum wage would boost pay for about 17 million workers, but would eliminate, now listen to this, up to 3.7 million jobs, right? That's huge. The CBO concluded that the job losses would have the biggest impact on women, workers without high school degrees, and part-time employees. So the CBO is estimating a $15 minimum wage would reduce family incomes by about $9 billion, with a B, dollars. The fundamental economic laws of supply and demand tell us that artificial raising the wage level will decrease the demand for low-wage employees. People who keep their jobs will benefit a little bit, but people who lose their jobs, their wages, boy, they're going to be cut to zero. And so he says this money system is broken. He says one of the reasons for advocates for minimum wage is because we have this fiat monetary system. I've never made that connection before, but he makes it, does a pretty good job. You can read this whole article at 10thAmendmentCenter.com. It just vividly illustrates the problems that the debasement of our currency makes in the rest of society. Sam?
Well, it's important to understand this reality about gold and silver, and I know we're not getting to everything because we've had such incredible topics, but let's be very quick. The fact is the Federal Reserve quantitative easing is like printing money. It debases the currency. The Fed's engaged in this practice for years, and it's absolutely unconstitutional and flat-out dishonest and destructive, to say the least. In 1964, the minimum wage stood at, what, $1.25? To put it another way, a minimum wage worker would get 5 silver quarters, right, Lowell?
Yep. Exactly right. And the silver melt of those 5 quarters today stands there at about $15. And that really gets closer to your 15 per hour minimum wage. In other words, you know.
So we don't have an employee-employer relationship problem, nor a payment problem. problem in America in the private sector. What we have is a government destroying our currency discussion that's never being had, not by the Donald, not by the Democrats, not by anyone. In fact, they've even put bills in that are contrary to the real solutions. HB 117 in Utah got shut down, and thank heavens, but quickly the details.
Yes, this bill was sponsored in 2018, that's a year ago, year and a half ago, by Brian King of District 28 in Salt Lake City. He said it was entitled the Hourly Wage Increase Amendment. The bill would have set the minimum wage in Utah at $10.25 an hour beginning in July of 2018 and then bumped up to $12 an hour in July of 2022. So if you live in House District 28, I strongly recommend you begin looking for another representative. What does this Brian King have against low-skilled workers anyway? He simply doesn't understand. It's going to hurt the very people that he thinks he's trying to help. And why is that? Because let's take this really common scenario. You say you're a business owner. You're paying $6 an hour to five employees, all right? Now, $6 an hour is not much, but if you have five employees working all at the same time, you're paying them $6 an hour, that's an outflow of $30 an hour from your business, right? Now, if you have to, and so the legislature comes along and sets the minimum wage at $10 an hour, that means that you have to let two of those people go, because now you have to pay, you only have $30 an hour that you flow out of your business to pay your employees, and so that means you can only employ three, where before you were employing five. And, you know, other things being equal. And so you have to lay off two of the five people.
And the only other choice is to put your business in jeopardy from minimized margins or raise costs to the consumer.
Exactly right, Sam. And those two that got laid off, they would have been much happier with the $6 an hour, because six is more than zero. Not right now, they're doing zero, but they were making six. So, you know, that's the economics of it. That's why it's so important to allow businesses the freedom to hire who they want and pay them how much they want, because you've got this natural tension. An employee wants to as much money as he can get per hour for the work that he does. An employer, on the other hand, wants to pay as little as possible while still retaining good employees per hour to fund his, so he doesn't go out of business, right? And so this natural tension between those who want more money and the employer who simply cannot pay more money is a healthy tension, and it actually helps the marketplace arrive at the correct wage for the amount of work that's being done by an employee. It's a phenomenal. It's a free market, Sam. It's what drives this economic engine that made America so powerful in the 18th century and in the 19th century, before government began meddling in the business affairs of these private businesses. So there you have it, folks. The economic argument, the constitutional argument against minimum wage laws, these wage floor laws, they're a terrible economic idea.
Well, and understand, I always say everything's moral in its discussions. And if you have a moral employee that says, yes, I want to get as much money as I can get, but I do have respect for my employer and I do want my employer to do well, I do want society to do well, I can create a win-win-win situation here. I'm going to use empathy for my employer and understand that they can't just pay me maybe as much as I want. And if the employer has the viewpoint of, I'm not going to be a Mr. Ratchet, or what's that guy's name in the Christmas movie? Anyway, I'm going to be fair to my employees. As long as we have a moral compass on both sides of the equation, there can be a balance, creating a win-win-win. The win for the business owner, the win for the employee, and a win for the downstream consumer. There can be a win for everybody, but you can't have the naked capitalist at the helm, and you can't have a communist at the helm. You got to have a good, honest, free enterprise-loving, moral person at these different crossroads that say, hey, let's work together for the betterment of all. And in that is the greatest free market the Founding Fathers visioned for America. Final words yours, Lowell.
Check out upma.org if you want a website for precious metals. This is a group that made gold and silver coin legal tender back right here in Utah. And you can spend legal coins, gold and silver, and you won't be affected by the pending...
Godspeed, sir. We're flat out of time. Thank you so much, LibertyRoundTable.com. We declare this nation shall endure.